The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's our last show before Halloween, and we are not in costume.
Tony Kornheiser, what do you mean? I'm the crazy old man who lives in his attic. This is what I do. I come up here dressed like this.
Yeah, I call that being in character 24/7. That's who you are now.
Yeah, I am getting crazy. Welcome to the PTI Halloween special. We will change into our costumes a little later in the show, but first, we begin today with the Packers edging the Cardinals last night on a late interception by a player who was on the Cardinals earlier this season. Rasul Douglas picked the ball in the end zone when A.J. Green did not turn around to look for the pass. Wilbon, did the Packers win this game or did the Cardinals give it away?
The Cardinals gave it away, Tom. Plain and simple. You know, usually these are hard for me, and I'm like, well, more than one thing can be true, and it's a little bit of both. No. The Cardinals gave the game away. And yes, you can sit there. I thought the Packers were going to win the game all along because I've been expecting the Cardinals to have some endings like this. As you know, I've said to you, and I root for the Cardinals, but I've said to you every week, Tony, they're going to get to a point where they're going to give some away. Now, maybe the Cardinals are good enough where this is a rare giveaway or the only giveaway, a one-time deal. But, Tone, that play, look, you figure they're going to at least go to overtime. At the very least, once they had a couple of great conversions in the first down, they're moving the ball down the field. Kyler Murray was just great. They're going to tie the game. We're going to see overtime at the very least. And then to A.J. Green to not turn around, you don't know what happens. It ain't so usually so loud in there that you can't hear. It just, you know, I admire but hate the Packers. And this is the kind of game the Packers seem to always win and the kind of game the Cardinals more often than not lose.
All right, so I'm going to credit the Packers a little bit more than you did because even though that happened at the end, the Packers, with all the people they had lost to COVID and to injury, had no business being ahead in that game when they were ahead in that game. They had a great game plan. They ran the ball a lot. Their time of possession was huge. Over
like
Arizona.
38-22 Aaron Rodgers, was huge. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers threw conservatively. He only gained 184 yards, but he found 60-year-old Randall Cobb in the end zone twice. And he didn't throw any interceptions, and Kyler Murray threw two. The credit I would give most of all, Mike, is to the coaching staff on Green Bay, because they had a day or two. That's all they had. When they realized everybody was going to be out, they had to remake the game plan completely. And maybe that's why, and this is a quote from Aaron Rodgers, "This is a scrappy team. I'm so proud of our guys. I love this football team. I'm having so much fun with these guys," which almost makes you think, Mike, like he'd be back next year. My cautionary note is this, and it's a great win on the road in a short week. Here's their next four, Mike. Here's the Packers' next four: at Chiefs, Seahawks with maybe Russell Wilson, at Vikings, Rams. You let me know without Robert Tonyan if they win all those games. And if they do, well, I'll shut up.
Tony,
but I don't have them yet.
Just like they won last night. Tony, it's a total breakdown. The Cardinals couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers and the Packer offense. Okay, you can live with that. But, Tony, they got to win that game. The Cardinals have that game. They have another turnover, which cost them. So it was a 10-point swing, essentially. But, Tony, you can't lose that game at home, even if it sounded like Lambeau West, because there's so many cheeseheads like Chicagoans in the desert. It's unthinkable to me that they gave that game away on that specific play where the ball is perfectly thrown, it seems to me. You turn, you catch. And even if you drop it or it gets knocked down, you go to overtime. I'm still angry over that outcome. Let's move to the NHL, Tone, where Joel Quenneville is out as head coach of the Florida Panthers. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman met with Quenneville yesterday afternoon about his role in the Blackhawks' failure to act on the sexual assault report that Kyle Beach made about assistant coach Brad Aldridge in 2010. Quenneville had denied knowing about it until this summer, but a recent investigation the team commissioned placed him in a meeting about it at the time. Tone, has the NHL handled this correctly?
I think the NHL has handled this perfectly. A lot better than the Chicago Blackhawks handled it when they tried to sweep it under the rug 10 or 11 years ago, and a lot better than the Florida Panthers handled it just the other night when they let Quenneville coach and then did not make him available to the media. I suspect what happens is that Gary Bettman sat in a room with Quenneville and said, one way or another, you're out. You can pick the way you want to go out, and he picked the right way. He resigned. He talked about his complicity in it. He talked about trying to get better as a person, talked about being contrite, talked about the need for safety for all players, and the NHL has offered him a path to get back in the NHL at some unspecified date, though they have not guaranteed it. Mike, I think this is a very important story, and I think that because I saw the interview of Kyle Beach with TSN a couple of days ago, where his life has been ruined. You know, he did not get any justice. The GM failed him, the coach failed him, the captains failed him, everybody failed him. He was crying during this interview and he said he felt worthless when nobody helped him. He felt like he had caused this. This happens all the time with victims, that they feel somehow they were wrong, Mike. And I think it's important going forward that the leagues, all professional leagues, they have independent people you can go to if something like this happens to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
Tony, I'm not going to credit the NHL as much as you are. If this happened in the NFL, to an NFL franchise, much more criticism would be directed at the league. Because, yes, what the team did was scandalous. I mean, it's unforgivable. But if you're going to say the team should have known or the team should have acted, then what is the NHL accountable for? The NHL just can't sit back and say, well, we didn't know. We wouldn't accept that from the NFL. We wouldn't. And so usually when you get a case like this, there's plenty of blame to go around. There's more blame. And the NHL has to take some of it, in my opinion.
I think this kid lost his career, and he lost his
self-esteem.
That's
all true, but the NHL
He's in Germany playing now. Should be obvious he wants to be a hockey player. We move on. Atlanta lost to Washington last night. Trae Young took only 3 foul shots. Last season, he took 8 or 9 a game. Young is steamed about the point of emphasis this year to not call fouls when contact is initiated by the offensive player. Young said, quote, there's a lot of missed calls. But Steve Kerr thinks the point of emphasis is great, and he said, quote, I love what I'm seeing. The game has more of an authentic feel. Wilbon, are you with Trae Young or are you with Steve Kerr?
I'm not with anybody yet, and this is not a push. I need more time to watch this. I'm watching somewhere between 2 and 4 NBA games every night, you know, because we're going to talk about this on Countdown with Greeny and Stephen A. and Jalen in a little bit of time here. And I'm not ready to – I haven't figured it out yet, Tony. I don't like that Trae Young and James Harden, 2 players you want to see, 2 bankable stars, 2 players who move their teams and the needle. I don't like that they are less than. I mean, James Harden is not himself. And some of that may be having to do with coming back from the hamstring from last year and all of that. But Tone, Devin Booker's averaging like 17, 18 points a game. There are big offensive stars, proven stars over a period of time. And they're not getting calls, and it seems to be affecting them and the games. So I'm not sure yet. I understand what Steve Kerr's saying. I need some game. I need some more weeks before I come out and say, yeah, I'm with this, or maybe I'm going to side with James Harden and Trae Young on this ultimately.
So I sympathize with Trae Young because he's small and gets banged around under the basket, and he probably feels if I can get some calls on outside shots, I'll take my chances under the basket, but I'll still be a productive player. But he also sounds to me like a defensive back in football when they change the rule and he goes, wait a second, I can't play defense anymore. The offense is getting I can't play anymore. And I think that offense has probably gotten too much liberalism in both basketball and football. And I think a return is not a bad idea. I think I side at the moment with Steve Kerr. But you know what, Mike? These are great players, Harden and Young. Great players will figure it out.
They adjust.
Great players will adjust. That's how it happens. Let's take a break.
Going from 12 free throws a game to 4, that's a big drop.
It'll go up. Who has the edge between Michigan and Michigan State? We're going to ask David Pollack.
We'll also ask him whether number one Georgia, his boys, could be upset by Florida tomorrow. That would not
make it. Just
going
to go back to Quinville for a second, that whole story. Sexual abuse, pro leagues have to care about this more than they do.
Yeah, yes, they do.
They have to identify it, and they have to get rid of it.
They can't just point to the team. They're involved. It's their league.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
We have some big college football matchups this weekend, and we are delighted to welcome back our great friend from College Game Day, Mr. David Pollack. David, let's start with the game of the unbeatens, which brings you to East Lansing. So that's number 6 Michigan at, always stress at, number 8, Michigan State. To which team do you give the edge?
I give the edge to Michigan, but you look at this matchup, man. There's probably not a single game on the schedule the rest of the way that determines the college football playoff more than these two teams. Whoever wins, they start to lay down their resume. They're going to both face Ohio State down the road and could be a team that is to reckon with. But Michigan defensive line is really, really good, led by Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best players in the country. He'll be a top 10 pick probably in next year's NFL draft. The playmakers and the way Mel Tucker's rebuilt Michigan State, it's absolutely amazing. Over 40 transfers. You bring in Kenneth Walker at the running back spot, who is that dude is so quick, he can make you miss in an elevator. You could play touch football in an elevator and you'd lose. Like, he's that kind of quick, making people miss. So it's just been fun to watch how Mel Tucker's rebuilt the roster. Another big spot for Harbaugh against Michigan State. He struggled against Michigan State, struggled against top 10 teams. Obviously a big showdown, but with big playoff implications.
Yeah, David, my boys saw a little too much of Hutchinson last week, so I know exactly where you're coming from with that. Oof. Let's move to another game in the Big Ten. Penn State and Ohio State looked a lot better before Penn State went out and had that fraudulent loss to Illinois. I shouldn't say it's a fraudulent loss. They looked like a fraudulent team in that loss. David, is this still a game that you see as being close, or has Penn State sort of revealed itself as not up to the standard of Ohio State?
Penn State's not up to the standard of Ohio State. We know that, but here's the thing. The reason Ohio State has gotten so much better and improved, it's not their offense. We've talked about their offense all year long. C.J. Stroud's been dynamic. They can run it. They can throw it. They're elite. We know that. We don't know about the defense. And the defense, to be honest, Michael, they've played a bunch of boo-boo, okay? So we really don't know how much better they are from the Oregon game when they gave up a ton of points and looked really, really bad doing it. I've never seen a defense change their identity of who they are from week 1 and 2 to week 7 and 8 now. Like, they literally completely different philosophy. They went more zone defense, way less man coverage, way less predictable. They're trying to do their best to, you know, to disguise things, which is really, really good because they're not as good as they've been in the trenches with those freaks over the past years and years that we've seen. So I don't think Penn State's a tremendous challenge, but their offense is better than what they've been seeing. So we can see how vulnerable Ohio State's defense is, or if they've really solved that riddle.
Let's go to the SEC, which I know is a sentence that'll make you happy. We'll get out of the Big Ten now and go to Georgia playing Florida. Of course, the Gators beat the Bulldogs last season, lost to Alabama by only 2 a few weeks ago. Do you see your Dogs as being vulnerable tomorrow, David?
I do. When I look at Georgia, I know everybody's putting Georgia up there, and they deserve it. They're clearly the number one team in the country. But, man, Dan Mullen offensively, he's a wizard. And last year, what did you see against Georgia? Wheel route, wheel route, wheel route. I mean, to death, and had so much success against a great Georgia defense. He's had 2 weeks to prepare again. He'll come up with something for this defense. You've got two quarterbacks. The thing about the last game that we saw Florida play against LSU, they were embarrassed. They were horrible. But the more importantly, there's a quarterback change now. I think their freshman now will be the starting quarterback for Florida. Anthony Richardson, 6'4", 250 pounds, you know, very, very, very athletic. He does a backflip in pregame warm-up at that size, so that kind of gives you an idea of how athletic he is. I think they can score. I think they can put up points. I wonder now, quarterback position with Georgia. Stetson Bennett has looked so great. Now you got JT Daniels coming back healthy. I think it's a more competitive game. I don't think Florida's good enough to win, but I do think they will hang around and give Georgia some fits.
Thank God you said that, because if you had picked Florida to win, I would have said, oh, no, that's just an alum picking the other team to win, knowing that he doesn't want that to happen. I will get you out of here on this. Number 4, Oklahoma hosts Texas Tech, which I believe has a new coach at the moment. The Sooners are 8-0. They scrape by Kansas. It's a bad team, Kansas, after a wild fourth down play by the freshman quarterback, Caleb Williams, which is so much fun to watch. So in your mind, and in fact, how good is Lincoln Riley's team actually?
What they've shown us is they're not elite. Here's why I say that. Defensively, they've got some question marks. I think their front is really good. The secondary, there's a lot of plays to be made on this group. If they're going to be playoff good, their offense has to be elite. It has to be great. And Caleb Williams has shown flashes where you're like, man, that dude's a baller. Like, he's the next face of college football, that we, like we've said on game day. They have to be great. They haven't been consistent at all. Spencer Rattler on offense, they were pretty good. Last week, you sleepwalk with Kansas. So I think, listen, they've got a lot more opportunities. They got Baylor. They got Oklahoma State. They got Iowa State. And they could play another one of those teams again. So I think Oklahoma has plenty of room for growth down the stretch and can prove us. But back to what you originally said, Tony, as a Georgia fan, we don't count nothing, bro. There is nothing. We've got the Falcons. We've got the Braves. So when we're thinking about Georgia right now, there ain't no puffing out our chest. We're like, hey, it's a good little story. Nothing to see here. Just move along. You know, hopefully you just kind of bang your way around and maybe stumble into an SEC championship. And then, oh, hey, you know, football, everybody's down, so maybe Georgia gets in. Georgia fans, unfortunately, Atlanta and the sports fans were kind of conditioned to this, so – nothing to see here. Just move along.
Thank you, David. Thank you, thank you.
David, pumping the brakes a little bit. That's interesting to hear.
You can see more of David and the entire College Game Day crew from East Lansing tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Let us take one last break. But still to come, who has the edge in tonight's Game 3 of the World Series?
Are they going to play that game, Tony? A lot of rain across America outside the desert.
Yeah.
And a double dose of bad news for the Chicago Bulls. From 4-0, the best start since Jordan, to just nothing but bad news, losing to the Knicks. Losing to the Knicks last night ruined my week. Ruined it.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Welcome back to PTI. I'm Dusty Baker at Truist Park, ahead of tonight's Game 3 of the World Series.
And I'm Jock Peterson. What the hell am I doing in Kornheiser's attic? Here we go.
Like
Happy
Peterson's
34th
grandpa.
Birthday, Andy Dalton. When Dalton came into the league with Cincinnati, he had the makings of a very good quarterback. He went to 3 Pro Bowls and took the Bengals to the playoffs 4 straight years from 2011 to 2014. But Dalton's performances in those playoff games were awful. He had 1 touchdown, 6 interceptions. Cincinnati lost all 4. Eventually, the Bengals soured on Dalton and released him after drafting Joe Burrow. Dalton went to Dallas last year and was not much there. He was the starter in Chicago this year, but he got hurt in game 2 and was replaced by Justin Fields. Dalton has to be wondering what happened to his career, but happy birthday.
I'll tell you what happened. NFL coaches are starting to treat quarterbacks like Major League Baseball managers like me are treating pitchers. How does Dusty talk with this in his mouth, with his toothpick? It's like I'm Burgess Meredith, the Penguin and the Batman.
Happy anniversary, Fran Tarkenton. Around this day, 47 years ago, the Hall of Fame quarterback incited a brawl after scoring a late touchdown when he threw the football at close range off the helmet of Patriots defensive back, Ron Bolton. Tarkenton mistakenly thought Bolton tried to trip him as he crossed the goal line. In reality, Tarkenton tripped over the yard marker chains. Bolton had already intercepted Tarkenton twice and was a convenient target. Bolton broke 2 fingers on Tarkenton's face mask, trying to punch him in the face. Both players were ejected, a first for Tarkenton in his 14th season. The Patriots won the game on a late touchdown pass by Jim Plunkett, but the Vikings went to the Super Bowl. Shout out to Quirky Research for all this good stuff.
Shout out to Fran Tarkenton. Another old guy, Tony, like us. I love Fran Tarkenton. We might be about the same age, Fran and me. Loved him.
Happy trails, Bob Melvin. Just yesterday, we wished Bob Melvin a happy 60th birthday and pointed out he was the longest tenured manager in baseball, 11 years in Oakland. Today, Melvin appears to be the shortest tenured manager. Reports say he just got hired by San Diego after Oakland gave them permission to talk. The Padres were real contenders for the first half of the season, but then collapsed. 26-43 after the All-Star break, 12-34 from August 10th to the end of the season, despite having Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, and a host of big-name players. So they bounced Jace Tingler, and they're bringing in somebody who knows how to get into the playoffs. Melvin did it 6 times in Oakland.
Was he bringing Moneyball with him? I mean, that's their secret, right? Moneyball, is he bringing Moneyball to San Diego? You know, I don't know about all this hocus pocus.
All right, let's go to the big finish anyway, if we can. The previously unbeaten Bulls lost to the Knicks and appear to have lost Patrick Williams for the regular season due to wrist dislocation. Your thoughts?
And Zach LaVine has a torn ligament in his left thumb, the non-shooting hand. It just seems to be all going down the drain in one bad 24-hour cycle for the Bulls. Athletics says an 8-team college football playoff will be back on the table when the commissioners meet next week. Does that make sense?
An 8-team playoff makes all the sense in the world. A 12-team playoff is insane.
Makes none.
Greg Norman will become the commissioner of a rival to the PGA Tour. Is that a big deal?
That's with all the Middle East money, right? You want to play in Dubai in the summer when it's 140? I don't know if it makes sense. Brian Flores says that barring injury, Tua is going to start for the Dolphins for the rest of the season. I don't believe that, do you?
Well, if it's true, it would mean they wouldn't trade for Deshaun Watson. If you're going to develop a quarterback, you got to play him. Last one, World Series Game 3. Your Astros at my Braves tonight. Who you got?
The Astros. Those aren't even Atlanta Braves uniforms you're wearing, Jock. Those are Milwaukee Braves uniforms. Come on, dude.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I maintain I'm Jock Peterson.
I'm Dusty Baker. Happy to be. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. Check out Wilbon, Jalen, Greeny. Stephen A., I love that Wilbon guy. Now,
PTI. 4 to 10.